Well, good morning, TNC family, on this first Sunday in 2025, where today here we start a five-part series rooted in the scriptures called 2025 Year of Courage. Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20, King David, the shepherd, the world-class musician, the slayer of Goliath, and as 1 Samuel 13 and the book of Acts tell us, a man after God's own heart, a man of humility and trust in God. David is advising his son Solomon, who is about to embark on a difficult year, an historic year, which will include for Solomon succeeding to the throne, leading a nation, also building a temple, a place for God to dwell among the people. And in verse 20, David says to Solomon, his son, quote, "Be strong and courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Be strong and courageous." And that just seems to me to be the absolute right counsel for us, TNC, this year. Because we are living in one of these eras of history, and really it's been going on for about 30 years, where cultural change is accelerating on the heels of massive technological advancements, space exploration, quantum theory, brain science, the absolute explosion of communication technology, and the information base from which we form educated opinions and ideas about things is growing and changing at a faster pace than ever. 2,800 books were published worldwide each day in 2024. Every second, Google processes over 40,000 searches, people looking for the best information on things, personal health, what happened on that day in history, how do I do this, what's the truth about that? Wikipedia is updated at a rate of 5.8 edits every second, and there are over 500 new articles added daily. And podcasts, there are over 82,000 new podcast episodes published every day. Did you know that 90% of all the data in the world that we have access to has been generated in the last 3 years alone? And that no matter what area of knowledge you pick, the half-life of any subject, physics, biology, cosmology, computer science, you name it, the half-life of any subject is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, meaning one's information base can be wrong in a hurry. We are living in a time of rapid cultural change, something that doesn't happen very often when you look back across history, but it has happened. For example, when an empire rises or falls, an explorer discovers an old artifact or a new world, a natural disaster or a human-engineered disruption rocks a region or a nation, a technological breakthrough offers a whole new way of living. Jared Diamond, the author and anthropologist, wrote a Pulitzer Prize-winning book a few years back called Guns, Germs, and Steel, about how the discoveries around gunpowder, germ theory, and steel created massive shifts in our culture. With gunpowder came new ways to do power and control and empire building. With germ theory came almost immediate changes in the quality of life and lifespans. And with steel came the invention of new tools, cities, buildings, economies. Gunpowder, germs, and steel, he said, ushered in eras of massive change and new ways to think, live, and interact. 350 years before that, actually, Francis Bacon, the English philosopher, picked his own set of three. He wrote in 1620 that the three inventions that forever changed the world were gunpowder, the nautical compass, and the printing press. And if you think about just one of those, Gutenberg's version of the printing press, for example, in 1440, it employed a new screw-type wine press technology that made copying and distributing ideas on a mass scale simpler than ever, and it launched new waves of the Renaissance, and then it birthed the religious Reformation. Did you know that in 1456, there were fewer than 60 existing copies of Gutenberg's Bible in the entire world? But by the turn of the century, just under 40 years later, there were over 15 million printed books in circulation. Now think about that. In the Middle Ages, For almost 1,000 years, information was unavailable to the average person, and the culture just creeped along. And only a few books existed, and they were in Latin, which was only taught to the elite. And so for 1,000 years, hardly anything changes. But then, bam, folks had available to them an unprecedented and unrelenting overflow of data. And now here we are today, 500 years later, and we moved from a world where everything was certain and nothing changed to a world where nothing seems certain and everything changes. And amid this world, 2025, the words of King David calls out to us, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you." Or as Jesus said, and Matthew records this in his biography, "God is up to something so great and so vast and so universal that only those with passionate intensity are able to lay hold of it." To use Jesus' exact words, chapter 11, verse 12, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people will lay hold of it." Said another way, without courage, you'll never be able to lay a hold of what God has in store for you. Without courage, you'll never realize the scope of your own capabilities. Without courage, you'll never know the world as wonderfully as I think it longs to be known. Without courage, your life and the lives of those around you will remain far smaller than they probably need to be. Be courageous, the text says, or in the words of Billy Ocean,
"When the going gets tough, the tough get going, 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 going.
That great 1986 song, "When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going." What is required for 2025? Courage. 2025, year of courage. Which reminds me again of one of my favorite stories of Teddy Roosevelt from the book The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt by Edmund Morris. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 1980. Some of you know Teddy Roosevelt was the first U.S. president to ever ride in a submarine, or to own a car, or to have a telephone in his own home, or to win the Nobel Peace Prize and the Medal of Honor. He's an author, he's a member of the science nerd herd, rancher, conservationist, legislator, politician, soldier, governor, adventurer, and the youngest president in American history, but his life wasn't always easy. For example, when he was just 26 years old, his wife and his mother died on the same day. In the same home, different illnesses. He would write in his journal that day one sentence, "The light has gone out of my life." And it led to an era of introspection for him and reevaluation about his life and his passions and his loves. Shortly thereafter, he volunteered to go to Cuba to fight in the Spanish-American War. He formed a group called the Rough Riders, a group of ranchers and Native Americans and some old Ivy League athletes from Harvard. And they sailed to Cuba, and he led them into the battle for San Juan Hill. But there was a problem, if you know the story of the battle. They're at the bottom of the hill, and bullets from the Mauser machine guns are coming down at them from the top of the hill, and his unit is taking heavy losses. And at one point, they come to a barbed wire fence, a fence he would need to cross in order to try to take the hill, but also a fence that once they crossed it, it was sort of like no turning back now. And so you see in the book, he has this moment of decision. Turn back, return to the safety, or stand up, move forward, and fight for San Juan Hill. And the chapter is called "The Wolf in My Heart." The wolf in my heart, because Roosevelt would later write about that, saying, quote, "At that moment, a wolf rose in my heart." What an amazing word picture. A witness said later that from the instant he stepped across the barbed wire, he, quote, "became the most magnificent soldier I have ever seen." Because shells are exploding all around him, even burning his skin, yet he presses on. Because a stray bullet actually nicked his elbow, but he pressed on. Because there was insane noise and confusion and death, but he pressed on. Because he didn't stop until the battle was won. Courage. And for the rest of his life, he referred to that day, July 1, 1898, as the greatest day of his life. And what I'm saying with all of this is I get that in 2025 we may or may not be taking San Juan Hill. But there are things that we do have to face that may require courage, a wolf to rise in our hearts, which means this might be the greatest year of your life. And so, for 5 weeks, I want to talk about 5 areas that will demand our courage. I'm going to talk about just one area each week. And today, I want to talk with you about the courage to be curious. The courage to be curious, which may not sound wolf-ish, but trust me, because I'm talking about the way the Bible describes curiosity. I'm talking about genuine, humble curiosity. Enough curiosity to, like Jacob, wrestle with God all night. Enough curiosity for, like Abraham, to negotiate with God. Enough curiosity for, like Peter and Paul, to change their entire theology when they learn something new. Like Mary, who we studied last month at the church, who rejoiced in things that called her to go down new and difficult paths. Curiosity, like that of Leonardo da Vinci, who produced 25,000 pages of notes in his life, his learnings and his questions about painting, engineering, philosophy, warfare, anatomy, light, shadow, shapes, ideas, questions. I mean, where would you even keep 25,000 pages of notes? But he did. Historian Kenneth Clark called da Vinci, quote, undoubtedly the most curious man who ever lived. He wouldn't take yes for an answer. Or I think about Albert Einstein. If you read what's considered the definitive biography of Einstein by Walter Isaacson, you'll come away really clear about this, that the two most important features of Einstein's personality were curiosity and independent thinking. Isaacson writes about how one day Einstein was watching the sun glittering off a field of flowers, and Einstein asked himself, could I travel on that beam of light? Could I reach or exceed the speed of light? And if we were moving through a curved space the way a beetle moves across that curved leaf, how would we notice it? You know, normal questions that we ask ourselves all the time. Einstein later wrote a friend, I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious. I've learned the important thing is to not stop questioning. Never lose a holy curiosity. I love what Elizabeth Gilbert writes about this in her book Big Magic, about the importance of curiosity. Quote, forget about passion. First of all, because it's unnecessary advice. If someone has a clear passion, odds are they're already following it, and they don't need anyone to tell them to pursue a passion. That's kind of the definition of passion, after all, an interest that you chase obsessively, almost because you have no choice. Instead, replace passion with curiosity. Curiosity is life's secret. Passion makes you get divorced, sell your possessions, shave your head, make an irrational move. But curiosity doesn't ask nearly so much of you. Curiosity only ever asks one simple question. Is there anything you're interested in? Anything, even a tiny bit, no matter how mundane or small. And in that moment, if you can identify even one tiny speck of interest, look into that thing a bit closer. It's a clue. Do it. It might seem like nothing, but follow that clue. Trust it. See where curiosity will lead you next. Then follow the next clue, and the next, and the next, and you'll end up in places and with people and ideas you never could have come to if you had waited for passion to strike. TNC, it's simple, but it's not easy. It will require courage to believe that in this moment, on this day, all you need is a little bit of curiosity, and then the courage to follow it. There's an old story from the life of G.K. Chesterton, the highly regarded English author, philosopher, Christian apologist. Chesterton was standing on a London street corner and was approached by a newspaper reporter. Sir, I understand that you recently became a Christian. May I ask you a question? Certainly, replied Chesterton. If the risen Christ were suddenly here at this very moment and stood behind you, what would you do? Chesterton looked the reporter right in the eye and said, he is. He is right here on this street corner next to me. I love that because the question is, do you know it? That Jesus is standing right next to you as we begin 2025. And further, that if you pay attention, There will be a clue to follow, a question to ask, a person to serve, something beautiful to take in, an opportunity to grow fun if you'll just be curious. You can experience more divine things in 2025, TNC, but it will take courage, including asking questions about where you are and then having the courage to answer them honestly. Questions, by the way, turns out was one of the main ways that Jesus chose to usher in the kingdom of God, to teach those around him about new ways to do power, money, and status, and about new ways to overcome brokenness and fear, and about how to discover emotional, physical, psychological, and theological healing. Asking questions. Jesus would ask questions to everybody. Prostitutes, beggars, criminals, soldiers, rich, poor, politicians, rabbis, lepers, landowners, the elites, and the discriminated against. He would ask things like, do you really want to be well? And where are your accusers? Whose picture is on this money? If you love those who love you, what reward is that? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Why are you so afraid? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? What did you go out in the desert to see? How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Who's my mother? Who are my brothers? Why do you ask me about what is good? Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? And on, read the biographies, the histories. They're relatively short, and yet in them, Jesus asks over 135 questions. And by the way, Jesus never asked a question because he didn't already know the answer. He uses questions the way a surgeon uses a scalpel, the way a painter uses a canvas, the way a composer uses a melody and a counter-melody to reach more deeply inside a person, to create a deeper level of understanding. How curious are you as we start 2025? When was the last time you asked yourself some questions with great curiosity and then sought the answers with ruthless honesty? In fact, I just want to leave you now with 7 questions that I think if we get humble, honest, and curious about, they can lead us to greater days ahead. 7 questions. Number 1, what are the blessings of your life? Said another way, can you more easily bring to mind all of your joys or your discontents? What you don't like or what you do like? Number 2, how can I best be of service to others? Number 3, what legacy would I like to leave? Number 4, what are my weaknesses, my blind spots, the areas where I could use improvement? Number 5, what is one thing I could stop doing or start doing or do differently that would most improve the quality of my life? Number 6, what am I already really good at and am I doing it daily and could I get paid for it? And then number 7, how am I perceived by my closest friend, by those who spend the most time with me, my boss, my children, my coworkers? TNC, trust me, these are not easy questions and they will require great courage to explore honest answers to. I'm in the process of working through these myself, but I believe it's time for folks to do less complaining and less worrying and less playing the lotteries of life. And instead, it's time for 1 Chronicles 28 living. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God is with you. 2025, year of courage. We're going to talk about 5 areas that need courage in this series. And today the question is, will you be courageous enough to engage in an insatiable curiosity? Because if the risen Christ were suddenly here at this very moment standing next to you, what would you do? Answer, he is here, and God is up to something new in 2025. Will you pray with me? God, I pray for every person listening now, and I pray for their courage. I pray that they would know that you're standing with them. I pray that our community would be a community that stands next to each other, and together, as we courageously pursue the life you've called us to, I pray that we would know your love and your grace and your peace. And so, TNC, I pray this prayer for you as we start the new year. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.